Chapter 8 deals with the Christian in relation to the future. And what we've discussed thus far in this chapter is that the carnal mind is enmity against God, and the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God and can't be. And they in the flesh cannot please God, talking about unsaved people. But Paul also makes it clear that even saved people that live after the flesh can't please God. You see that? Now that's what you need to get, because that's confusing to a lot of people. The reason so many people are so confused about salvation, eternal salvation, is they don't know how to make a distinction between that God saves and that God discards. Now, the flesh is not saved, and we're going to see that tonight, at least not yet, see? Your spirit is saved, and like I said, a saved person is a person with a dead body and a live spirit. An unsaved person has a dead spirit and a live body, and these Church of God and all these people run around saying, you know, you got to live it. Now, you know, let me tell you something. I don't mean to be critical on that, but you know, you take somebody like that says, you know, you got to live it. You know what they really are? And I'm just going to shoot it straight. Somebody says you got to live it to be saved are nothing but a bunch of self-righteous, ignorant, low-down, religious people that have no knowledge of what it took to keep their soul out of hell. Can you imagine something that God don't have nothing to do with? God give up. God said, if you can't please God in it, thinking they're going to live in this flesh a standard that would please God good enough to get them to heaven. Now, can you imagine that? If you know the Bible. Now, if you're ignorant, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, these people think that salvation is something that they do and all this, you know. I know one of these fellas here a while back, you know, I reckon he's trying to do right. And I feel sorry for folks that want to do right and don't know how. And can't learn how, you know, really. But this fella, he come to me one time, it's been several months ago, and he said, preacher, said, I went to the altar the other night and God took my cigarettes away. And he said, that's the only thing between me and God, them cigarettes. I said, boy, you must be close. Boy, you must really have it made. And he said, but the Lord took them things away from me. I know right then I was finished with them from now. I saw him a few months later still sucking on them. You see? See, he was going to please God in the flesh. See? Now, folks, you can quit. I don't agree with smoking. You know that. But you can quit smoking. You can quit cussing. And you can quit all your old dirty low-down deeds. If your heart ain't right, you ain't done nothing.
Amen.
That's where a religionist comes in and tries to perfect salvation in something that God don't have nothing to do with. See? The Bible said they in the flesh cannot please God. So see that? And so what Paul is trying to reveal here in this chapter, in the first few verses here, is that the thing that makes the difference in a Christian and an unsaved person is the spirit of life that's in him through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see that? And he says in verse 11, I want to start that tonight. That's kind of an introduction, I reckon. But he said in verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now you know what that spirit is, don't you? That's in Romans 1:4. That's the spirit of holiness. Amen. He says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. All right, notice that. Now, anything else is like an unsaved, like an unsaved person with a live body and a dead spirit. Now, this is the future of every Christian. You see, I told you that chapter 8 is the death of a Christian in relation to the future. And that's the outlook of your future if you're saved. Amen. Someday, and like M.R. Dehon put on his tombstone, if you go down and see it, it says, perhaps today. You know, he's still preaching even though he's been dead all his years. But one day, the Spirit of God that dwells in, that's the Spirit of life, that dwells in you, one day is going to raise your mortal, your mortuary death. You see? And this is not talking about whether you're dead and buried in the grave or walking, talking, living, breathing. It's talking about your body's dead no matter what condition you're in, as far as God's concerned. Amen? As far as God's concerned, you're dead and buried. Amen. As far as your body. And what you do in your religion and what you do in your denomination and what you do in the energy of the flesh don't mean one little thing in either way to God, because God ain't associated with it. The Bible said God's the God of the living and not the God of the dead. And your body's dead and God ain't the God of that thing. Amen. If you're saved, you have a spirit in you that dwells in you, which is the spirit of God, the spirit of holiness. And that is the spirit of life, and that is your hope, and that is your only hope. And if you don't have that spirit, you don't have no hope. No matter what you do, don't do, how you live, don't live, go to church, don't go to church, talk in tongues, chew bubble gum. No matter what you do, it don't make no difference. Amen.
Right. Amen.
More people could get that, you know.
Amen.
And notice how Paul addressed this thing, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, notice the address to the Christians. And let me notice something else about this thing real close. Now, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are indebted not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And notice how clear that reading is. You see how clear that is? Notice up there again in verse 4. Verse 4, which will match this verse, it says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you see how clear those two verses are? And like we told you so many times, the things that are real important are real clear. There may be some things in the Bible you don't understand, but if you understand and believe what's clear, you'll be all right. I don't worry about the things I don't understand. What worries me, the things I do understand, I'm guilty of. See, that's what bothers me. So we're not debted to the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you say, well, I don't understand that. In other words, it's like this. You don't know your flesh nothing.
Right.
Because your flesh is a dead corpse that was taking you to hell with it for the spirit of life coming and spiritually circumcised you.
Amen.
If you'd have stayed in the flesh and never been saved by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of life never come in you and spiritually circumcised you, your flesh would have carried you on down to hell for your sin.
Right.
Now you better get that. And you don't know your flesh nothing.
Amen.
All right, verse 13. For if, notice the condition there now, for if you live after the flesh, alright, so you get saved and you still want to go back and live after that old flesh. A lot of people do. It's alright. Don't make no difference. You know, we got liberty. We can do what we want to. That's what they say. That's what they say. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. No, that's talking about a physical death. In other words, if you get saved, and the Spirit of God comes in you, and spiritually circumcises you, and separates your eternal soul, and gives your spirit life, and cuts you loose from that old body of sin, that old mortal flesh that's going to the ground, the worm's going to eat. If you go back and forsake the things of God, and live after that old flesh, if you're saved, now I didn't say if you joined the church and got baptized, talked in tongues, went to confession, none of that junk. I said if you're saved, you stand a great chance of meeting an early death. But if you're through the deed, through the Spirit, alright, through the Spirit, and like I told you this morning in preaching that you can't be what God wants you to be, and you can't do what God wants you to do, and you can't stand how God wants you to stand without the power of God.
Amen.
And the power of God is found in the Spirit of God that dwells in you.
Right.
See that? And that's why you ought to be filled with the Spirit like we preached this morning. Alright? But if you're through the Spirit, that's how you do it. Not through your denomination. Nothing to do with it. I mean, get off that stuff. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify. What does that mean? That means get rid of them. Amen?
Right.
I mean, you have a body that's dead. And what the Bible is saying for you here is to put the deeds of that body down. See? Put the deeds of that body down. And that'll match back in chapter Romans chapter 6, verse 11, verse 12. We discuss all that in Romans chapter 6, deal with the death of a Christian in relation to sin. You see that? Now you read verses like this, and I believe that verse is just the truth in the rest of them in the Bible. And yet you see people that go to church, profess to be saved, and they have no conviction, no standard. They don't see nothing wrong with nothing. They do everything according to what they want to, the way they want to, when they get ready to, and nothing ever happens. Well, now, notice, it's talking about saved people.
Right.
An unsaved person will never live in no way but the energy of the flesh. He'll never live no other way. He'll never live in the Spirit of God because he don't have it.
Right.
See? So if a man or a woman's unsaved and just a member of the church, they're no different from a man or woman that's unsaved down here in the bar Saturday night.
Right.
They still live after the same thing. And that's why you see so many church people get away with so many things.
Right.
A lot of them just not
saved.
Amen. I said, you're judging. Oh yeah, I am. I reckon I am. But the Bible says the spiritual judge to all things. Amen. I got a book to judge things by.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And I believe the book before I do anything or anybody else.
Amen.
Alright, now look at verse 14. Now, this is kind of, the thing kind of changes now. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this leadership is in an absolute sense. In other words, what it means is like the Holy Spirit taking you along. Amen? It's like your daily life. It's the Holy Spirit taking you along your daily life, leading everything you do and controlling everything you do and directing you and everything you do. And not you going out here and saying, well, I think I'll do this. And somebody said, well, the preacher says this. The Bible said, well, I don't care what that Bible says. I mean, I like it that way. I don't say it wrong. That's the way I want to do it. You see? It's talking about somebody that's being led and directed by the Spirit of God in their life. Amen. And that's evidence, that's good evidence, that's sound evidence that you saved by the Spirit of God. Amen. Alright, notice in verse 15, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, you're a Jew. Amen. Abba is a Hebrew word. See that? And notice that thing, the Bible says, when you got saved, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage. Huh?
Amen.
Now let me show you something here. It's real clear, and I want you to try to get this. Every unsaved person lives in a spirit of bondage. Amen? They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to the flesh. They're in bondage to the laws. They're in bondage to a lot of things. Amen? A bunch of Jews one time told Jesus told them, said, you'll know the truth will make you free. And they say, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to no man. And while they were telling Jesus, they was never in bondage. They was in bondage to religion. They was in bondage to Rome. They was in bondage to sin. See? And didn't know that. Now what the Bible is saying here is this. When you got saved, and the Spirit of God led you along, that's not bondage of fear. Now, let me show you a reference on that. One that we've used numbers of times. And it's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And listen to it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See? Now every unsaved person was under that power. Matter of fact, before the cross, every person was under the power of death, and the devil had the power of death. You see that? But then look in verse 15. And delivered them, alright, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now before the cross, every person was in fear of bondage because you were in bondage to death and the devil held you in that bondage. Amen? Nobody knew anything about life before Jesus died on the cross. Alright? Now the Bible is saying here in Romans 8 verse 15, but you hadn't received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption. Now you know what adoption means? How many know what it means? It means son placed. Now when you got saved, you were spiritually took out of one place and put in another. Amen? You was took out of one family, the family of the devil, and put in the family of God. You see that? Alright? And when you got saved, when you put in another family, you got a different language. You see that? Because this different family puts you going in a different direction. You see that? And that different direction gave you a new language, so you cry, Abba. Alright? And verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see that? That's how you know you're saved. You are adopted into a new family. I heard a little story one time. It's real good. It goes right along. This little boy went to school, and these other little boys got around, got a joke, and said, you are adopted. You don't, that's not your real mom and daddy. And he kind of got upset, you know, and he said, I'm not. And he knew he was. You know how kids are. And then four or five more got around and said, you are adopted too. We all know you are. Yes, not your real mom and daddy. Little boy got up and said, yeah, but my mom and dad love me more than yours do. And they said, what do you mean? He said, well, they had to take you. I was picked out of a whole bunch of them. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good thing. See, God picked you out of a whole bunch.
Amen.
Amen? So that's pretty good. All right, so look there in verse 16. Is that where it was? Verse 16. The Spirit itself. I notice that word, the Spirit itself, is the same as down in verse 26. The Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, but the Spirit itself. And this is supposed to have been an error in the King James Bible. This is supposed to have been a time when the Spirit is called it, And a lot of people have said that King James Bible is wrong because the Spirit is not an it, the Spirit is a person. Alright? Now let me show you something. In Luke chapter 1 verse 35, Jesus is called a thing. Amen? And back in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, we mentioned that a promise of the coming line. The Bible said, it shall bruise thy head, talking about the coming of Christ. Alright? Now look at this thing real close, folks. I'm not a scholar. You know that. I'm just an old dummy that believes the Bible. But I know this. There's the context there is not the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit. Spirit. All through this chapter, it's the Spirit. Now the word Spirit in the Greek is a neuter word. It's not masculine or feminine. It's a neuter word. Amen? And so, when you speak of the Spirit as far as the work, it's proper to say it or whatever. Amen. Now back in John chapter 14, 15, 16, when Jesus talked about the personality of the Holy Ghost, he said him and he. Amen. But when he mentioned the work, just the Spirit by itself alone as it stands, in relation to his work, it's proper to say it. You see? Now what these people are doing that tell you that's wrong, this is people that's rejecting authority, so then they can establish their own authority. See, that's their purpose behind all that, you see. But the Greek word in Spirit is a neuter word, and when you speak of the work of the Spirit, it's not improper to say it. And like I said, the subject here is the Spirit all the way through. All right?
Amen.
All right, verse 17. And if children, well, you've been adopted, so you must be a child. That's what you adopt, amen. And if children, then heirs. Ears of God, and joint ears with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see? Now look what's this talking. This goes right on into the second coming of Christ. You see that? The second coming of Christ. And the law says you can't disown or disinherit an adopted child. So we're adopted, we in, amen?
Amen.
We in, we got just as good as there. So we got something coming, amen? We get part of the inheritance. But notice here, this inheritance is if, the Bible says if, is conditioned. Alright, what's that condition? Condition is if we suffer with him. Alright? Now you got two kind of inheritance. Listen. You got one kind of inheritance that's sure. I'm going to show you what it is. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter. Everybody that's saved has this. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Maybe it's 1 Peter. Let me see. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1311. All right, listen to this. If you're saved, you have this. 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Now you got this coming. Incorruptible. Man didn't build it. Amen. Undefiled. Amen. And that fadeth not away. It don't wear out. It don't burn out. It lasts forever. It's eternal. And where is it? It's reserved. It's waiting for you. Whereabouts? Not in earth. In heaven for you.
Amen.
Now every saved person has that inheritance coming. Alright? But there's another inheritance that you can lose. Are you with me here?
Amen.
And let's see what that one is. And let's take a Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, let me say something here. Well, you won't get confused. I've told you with numbers of time before. And you folks, you know, you come here Sunday after Sunday, what few of you come, And you've been coming, you know, about 2 years. You've got more Bible here in 2 years than most churches get in 25 years.
Amen.
And maybe I'm trying to cram too much on you at one time, but stay with me in the Scripture. I mean, just follow me in the Bible. And listen, because one of the most confusing things today among people, they can't make a distinction between salvation, that's free grace, and an inheritance that you earn after you get saved. You see? And if you don't have free salvation, don't work for nothing, honey. You ain't gonna get nothing but hell, amen?
Amen, right.
And the harder you work, the more hell you get.
Right.
But if you're saved, know you're saved, you got something to look forward to.
Amen.
Amen. And you live right, you got more and more to look forward to, amen?
Amen.
Now I want to show you what the Bible says about this millennial inheritance. Now the millennial inheritance is when Christ comes back to this earth, sets up a kingdom on this earth, and rules the world out of Jerusalem, and the saved people, if you earn that, you'll be rulers over cities. That's what Luke says.
Right.
All right? I don't know who will get to rule over more haven. Hope it ain't me. But like I said, let me go and throw this in too. I done gone this far. I don't believe there'll be too many.
Amen.
From the last 25 years, it'll get a millennial inheritance.
Amen.
I don't believe nobody with a TV gonna get no millennial inheritance. Now you say, blah, blah. Yeah, I know that's what you think, or you probably got one, but that's all right. All right, let me get in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 10. The Bible said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now notice that more to being saved than just escaping hell, amen?
Amen.
The Bible says there that you might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see that?
Amen.
I mean, there's more to getting saved than just knowing you're not going to hell. All right? And look what it is. Verse 11. It's a faithful saying. This is something faithful. Now, the folks listen to me. When I read the Bible, and I come across something that stands a faithful saying, I pay closer attention to that. I pay more attention to that than I do a lot of other verses.
Amen.
All right? And it says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's what we've been studying about in Romans 6, and what we're studying about in Romans chapter 8 now. All right? If we suffer, there's a condition, see? If we suffer, you know, I mean, if we are, like a lot of these people, you know, they're suffering real bad, they only get $500 a week, and a car to drive, and a house to live in, all expenses paid, and, you know, they're suffering bad, amen?
Yeah.
I mean, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, a lot of people take that verse, if you deny him, you know, he'll deny you, you know. What's the denying talking about? He'll deny you a millennial inheritance. Don't have nothing to do with nobody getting saved or staying saved. Can't you see that? And yet they'll take verses like this, you know, and they'll try to make that think you can lose your salvation, see. If you go out here and deny him, he'll deny you and you'll go to hell. Not talking about that at all. Not at all. It's not talking about that, see? Alright, let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. Look at the next verse, verse 13.
Amen.
If we believe not, you see that? Now, suppose you get saved, okay? And somewhere down the mind, world, somewhere down the road, you lose your mind. And you don't even know God. What happens to you? The Bible says he's still faithful, see?
Amen.
You still ain't going to hell. You see that?
Amen.
I mean, he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. You see that? I mean, if you ever get in, honey, you can't get out.
That's right.
You see that?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people can't go that route because they put too much stock in the flesh and base too many things on the flesh, but the more I read the Bible, the more I believe, boy, just keep the flesh out of it and let God have his way and Let the Bible be right and everything else be wrong and go from there, and I believe you can come out pretty good. All right, one more place, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 24. Colossians 3, verse 24. We'll start at verse 23 to put it together here. Talking about saved people again. All right? Nothing to do with nobody getting saved. Nothing to do with nobody staying saved. Colossians 3, 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. All right? Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. You see, the millennial inheritance is a reward. Amen? It's an earned reward. It ain't something you got just because you went to church every Sunday. It's something that you did for God. It's earned. Now, the one in 1 Peter 1, 4 is not earned. Every saved person has that. That's one of the fringe benefits of getting saved. Amen? That's a heavenly inheritance. You see? But we're talking now about a millennial inheritance, and it's an earned reward, and it's conditioned on this. Alright? You shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Why? For you serve the Lord Christ. You see that? Huh? And then, of course, the next verse, Paul tells that God is no respecter of person, and as far as earned reward. No matter who you are, or who you knew, or how close you were to the preacher, or how much you get, or nothing to do with it. Alright? Alright, back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 17. So verse 17, when Paul talks about here, the Spirit that's in us, and what we have, then he goes right on into the second coming of Christ when the saved people will be glorified with Christ, those that earn this inheritance. Alright? Look at verse 18. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon, there's that southern expression we mentioned over there in verse chapter 6. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How about that? Well, in other words, Paul is saying that what you're going through now can't be compared with what you're going to get for it later. Amen. Huh? Now, let me just give you something else on that. We discussed this all, but let me give you a review here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I review a lot of these verses because it's things you ought to learn. And that's how you learn, repetitious, over and over. And there's some things in the Bible, a few verses, and a few things that you can apply to your life practically that you ought to know. Amen? And this is one of those things that you ought to constantly be reminded of, especially when the devil tells you, well, you waste your time, it ain't worth it, and you're a fool to go over to that church Sunday after Sunday and lose all your friends and everybody turns on you and all this stuff, you know, like he does. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it's on page 1233. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, and that moment is 70 years. Amen? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what the same thing back in Romans. It's saying that what we go through here now, you can't even compare with what it's going to be worth later on. And what Paul is saying here is, our light afflictions, but for a moment here, has a much more weight up there in glory for what we've done. Amen? Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, alright, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then you ought to set your goals on things you don't see. Amen? And what do you don't see? You don't see heaven. You don't see the Lord. You ain't seen your new body yet. Hmm? Notice Paul is saying this in a plain words. He's saying, When you see what you get, for what little you done, it's going to be hard to believe. Amen. Now listen, folks. I believe that works the other way around too.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, if you going to get a great deal more up there for a little bit you done here. You listen? How much greater hell is a man going to get for what he done here in this world when he rejected Christ? Huh? I believe it'll work just good one way or another. I mean, the Bible said in Revelation 20, don't forget, they will judge every man according to their works. See? You'll be judged by your works, and your works will be services rendered to God after you got saved. And the things that you do for God after you get saved that go through the fire and come out on the other side, you're going to get a reward for them. Amen? And if you, I'll just illustrate, say you got a dollar's worth here, up there it might be $1 million worth.
Amen.
I'm just dealing in value. I'm not dealing with money. There'd be no money up there. You know that.
Amen.
You know all that stuff. Now I want you to see that, because you see, people, if people could ever understand this thing, never get this thing right, that there's more to being saved than just knowing you ain't going to hell and attending church every Sunday. You see that?
Amen.
There's more to it than that.
Right.
All right, notice verse 19, Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation, in other words, are you expecting something? What are you expecting? Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see? And notice that word is creature. It's not creation like it's ever changed in all these new Bibles. You see it? That word is creature. See? Notice down in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the... That ain't the verse I wanted. Verse 21, what I wanted. Because the creature itself, you see that? The creature, you see? In other words, it's not talking about you getting right, but it's talking about the creature, the animals getting right too. See that? Now somebody said, how do you know that? Yeah, you don't know that for sure. Well, let's just see if I do. Go back to Isaiah 11. Let's see if we're right on that. Never mind the scholars. Let's see what the Bible says.
Amen.
All right? Isaiah 11, page 723. You got it? Verse 6. Isaiah 11, 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Huh?
Amen.
Can you imagine that? You know why a wolf will eat a lamb? There's a curse on him.
Right.
Huh? Let me tell you something. We ain't got this far in John yet, but you remember when Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head? What did God curse the world with in Genesis 3? Thorns and thistles.
Right.
He not only bore the curse for your sin, he bore the curse for the creation.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
And he comes back, folks. Everything's going to get right.
Amen.
See? And this is talking about the animal life. I mean, when Christ comes back, there'll be no curse. A wolf and a lamb will play together. Amen?
Amen.
They don't do it now. All right, the Bible says in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Huh? How many of you ever seen a little child leading a big old wild lion around? Huh? Have you ever seen that? Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child, as the baby that ain't weaned from his mama, shall play over the hole of an ass. Ass, one of the most deadly snakes in the world. And a little suckling baby can play over his hole, not to have a thing to worry about. Huh? How do I know I'm right? Got a Bible.
Amen.
Amen? All right, now look. The Bible says in verse 19, we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, the animals are waiting for Christians to get right. You see that? Now, you've been saved, but you hadn't got your new body yet. Amen? You see? I mean, you hadn't been manifested yet. You see? The Bible said, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be like. Amen? I mean, we hadn't appeared in our true role yet. You see? You see, right now, if you're saved, you're a prince in disguise as a beggar. Amen?
Right.
I mean, you hadn't been manifest yet. Your true role hadn't come up yet, see? But when He appears, when Jesus Christ appears, the Bible said we're going to be like Him, and that's what the animals are waiting for, see? Now, you talk about liberation. Boy, that's liberation, ain't it? Everybody, they want to be liberated. You know? Well, they're going to be liberated. Amen? All right, verse 20. Romans 8, 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. In other words, you didn't ask to be born. You was not made subject to vanity. All on your free will, you just came into it. You see that? But you're going to be delivered from it. Well, I notice verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see? Not only the animals, but the brute creature in man, that old nature we've been talking about now for chapter 7 and chapter 8, and the Bible says shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. You listen?
Amen.
Now, what is the bondage of corruption that holds you today? What is it? Do you know? It's your flesh. Amen? And the Bible says you're going to be delivered from that thing. You see? And you're going to be delivered from that thing in the liberty of the children of God. You see? In verse 22, for we know that the whole creation, there's the word, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, the whole creation, not just the animals, but the vegetarian life, the mineral life, the nature, the whole creation is going to get right. You see that?
Amen.